There we go. Well, this evening we're going to take a little detour out of Jeremiah and all the positivity Jeremiah is spreading. We are going to talk about prayer and maybe a little different light. I know Randy did a couple things on prayer a few weeks ago. So we're going to talk about some things that are maybe hindrances, but really they're just ways people approach prayer that are not good. And that may sound weird, but I don't think it'll be as weird as you think when we get through this. But it's amazing the capacity for us to just be really good at iniquity. And that is to put on a show and pretend to be something and use spiritual things to pretend to be something that you're not. That's iniquity. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 7. These folks come to him and they say, yeah, but we did all this stuff. We prophesied in your name. We did this and did this and did this. And he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Like you had a pretense of spirituality, but what's really going on is sin, and that's what you're covering. And some people can approach prayer that way, and it's there's some warnings about it in the Bible. And so this isn't meant to discourage praying. It's meant to kind of gauge your heart about approaching these things. And I'd say this probably doesn't, most folks probably don't ever even think about some of these things, because if you're not accustomed to praying, then these things don't really ever, I don't know, they may come up in other ways where you pretend to be spiritual, but maybe not necessarily in a prayer life. But that said, let me give you four things that are warnings about prayer in the Bible and the way it can be used as a pretense or just a maybe something that it's not. I'm going to start here in Matthew 23 and verse 14. And then I'm going to pray and we'll deal with these things. Matthew 23, verse 14. And then before we read it, let's pray and we'll talk about some of these matters. Father, I pray that you would help us tonight. I thank you for your words. I thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for rain and just lots of greenness around us. And Lord, thank you for taking care of us the way you do. I pray you'd help us through this lesson. It really is sort of a gauge of the heart. And I pray that it could be applied the way it needs to be applied and understood and all that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So there are clearly prayers in the Bible that God doesn't listen to. Clearly things people pray that God doesn't listen to. Sometimes the Lord says, don't pray about this because the answer is already clear. He just says, you don't need to be praying about this because there's already an answer. He told that to Jeremiah. He said, don't pray for the people because this is already what's going to happen. You don't need to petition me for any of this. Sometimes the Lord says, don't pray about this because the answer is clear. Sometimes it's maybe some other reason, but regarding our prayer lives, I don't know, which I would include as everything about prayer. I would include requests. I would include your prayer life. I would include all of that in a prayer life, so to speak. All of that can be applied to what we're going to look at here. Matthew 23:14, first place we'll go. This will be a little more topical. Jesus says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation." So, in this case, I'll ask you guys, what is the problem with the prayer in this case that Jesus identifies? What is it, Shirley? Long. There's another word in there. Pretense. It's pretend. It's not real. It's a show is what it is. And so these priests, he says, you devour widows' houses and you take their money and then you say, maybe I'll pray for you or something like that, or I'll light a candle for you or something. But you take all their money and you take what they have and they pay you to, you know, pray people out of hell or something like that. And he says, what you do, your prayer is just a pretense. It's not real and God doesn't hear it and God's not interested in it. It's just a show. And that's a real religious side. You can, see that in religion now, where there's just prayers that are maybe, they're just for show. They're just kind of a showy thing. On our side, in this camp, so to speak, whatever you'd call it, a pretentious or a prayer with pretense sometimes comes in the form of a suggestion. Let me put it this way. Let me give you a personal illustration, because I'm familiar with this. So when I started getting serious about the Lord, I had respect for some preachers, and sometimes I would tell this preacher that I respected, hey, can you pray for me? I'm going to be passing out tracts. And the purpose of me telling him that was not so that he would pray, but so that he would know I'm passing out tracts. And so I say this because I have experience with it. And this is called a pretense. And so you people bring these requests sometimes, and this is where you have to gauge, what's your motive for this? Do you want this answered, or do you want people to know what you're doing? Because this is where you gauge yourself on this. Because these Pharisees, these hypocrites, they make prayers as pretenses. They're not real prayers. God doesn't hear them. God isn't interested in them. What they're doing is doing something as a show. And so it happens in all kinds of religious groups and Baptist groups, and where sometimes a request is made and the person making the request is not really interested in the prayer being answered. What they really are interested in is you knowing what they're doing. And so that's called a pretentious prayer. That's a prayer of a Pharisee. It's a hypocritical thing. So a hypocrite prays or even makes requests to others so that people know he or she is spiritual. That's what the Pharisees are doing. They're praying so that people know that they're spiritual. So, this is the first thing, but I'm not saying you don't believe God answers prayer. But I am saying the reason you may have brought up this prayer request is not to have a prayer answered. It's so that someone sees and knows that you're spiritual. And so that's what hypocrites do. That's first one. So it's an incredible, and this is, I feel sometimes bad for missionaries, because they have to balance this thing. Because you're trying to communicate what's going on without a kind of a show me, I mean, let me show you what I'm doing. Let me, you know, let you in on whatever here. But it's probably incredibly tough to maintain a right motive when you're trying to tell people how spiritual you are so that, you know, the checks keep coming. And I wish that culture didn't exist. I wish you could just be honest about what you're doing. And that this was the whole situation, and missionaries don't feel pressure to gin up numbers or tell people that all this stuff's going on. Just say what you're doing. And I mean, if you're a good investment, if you're going to serve the Lord, then whatever the Lord does with you, it's good. We want to fund it if you're going to serve the Lord. If that means 100 souls or whatever, it's just whatever it is. But I wish that culture didn't exist, but I kind of feel for them sometimes. There's got to be a delicate balance with all that stuff. But in our lives, that can be a pretentious prayer where it's not really about the prayer. It's about, I want you to know how spiritual I am. That's what the Pharisees did. That's the pretense. Second thing. Matthew 6:5. I'll give you this one. This is sort of along the same lines, but the word pretense isn't used here. Matthew 6. It is very much in the same vein. Just maybe we'll give you a little bit of a difference here. Matthew 6:5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Meaning, if you're looking for a reward from men, then whatever men give you, that's what you got. Now, if you're looking for a reward from God, then you do this in secret and let God do the rewarding. So on this point, this is, like I said, kind of in the same vein. The first one is pretentious, where you're pretending something. This one is more attention seeking. This is just, I understand the Lord wants you to pray about everything. Pray about your food. Be thankful for your food. Small things like that. All that stuff. But what he didn't intend your prayer to become is your way of getting attention. You know, everything, you know, I wish I could give you multiple specific examples. I'll just do maybe one here. But maybe there's a tragedy somewhere and somebody asks for, it's not a specific example, just be a general example, tragedy somewhere, pray for me, you know, I'm so disturbed about this tragedy. Okay, got it. But maybe you ought to pray for the people involved in the tragedy before you become the victim in the tragedy. Maybe it's not your funeral. Maybe you ought to let people who are actually involved in this get some prayers and not eat up valuable resources from other people by trying to get attention to yourself. Oh, you know, the bride at every wedding, the corpse at every funeral, that kind of thing. What these men do as hypocrites in Matthew 6 is the whole prayer is just an attention thing. I just want attention from people. I just want to make sure all the eyes are on me. Yeah, it's just all about me. And God never intended a prayer to become that. And if it has become that, you can be sure God doesn't care about that prayer. He is not interested. Well, I say that prayer, that maybe that prayer request, I should say, but that sort of, you know, look at me, look at me, look at me type thing. don't abuse the privilege and love of other people who actually care for you and want to pray for meaningful things by using prayer as an attention getter. Pray for me. And if something else happens here that may be really important, but you know, you got to be the center of it. Yo, I got this going on too. I got this thing going on. This is the way hypocrites act. Pretentious prayers, just attention seeking. And this is maybe more requests sometimes. And then third one, unholy prayer. Unholy prayer. This is where the sacrifice of prayer is mingled with iniquity. It's this basically. It's prayer instead of action. You should be doing something instead of praying about this. You should be fixing this. You should be addressing this. You shouldn't be praying about this. But instead of doing this, instead of putting footsteps to this, you're going to pray about it. Let me give you a couple of examples. You say, well, that sounds so sacrilegious. That's just terrible. No. It's a real thing. James chapter 2, we'll look through this one first. James 2, 14. And then I'm going to take you to Isaiah. James 2:14 says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him?" Now, in the context here, he's talking about people being in trouble, people need help, and all that. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? So this, we're going to pray for you, brother. Well, if it's in your hand to do it, and you have the resources, and you have the ability, the prayer is not going to suffice. Just do the thing you know is right to do. One of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone. The point is, you're instead of doing the right thing, you're maybe blessing them or saying you're blessing them or, you know, go in peace or we'll pray for you. And James says, look, if you're not doing the right thing, then your prayer is not going to be the right thing. One more time, look in Isaiah, Old Testament example of this. Isaiah 59, this is an unholy prayer. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity, they speak lies, they conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. So all of this behavior means your prayer, these folks' prayer, the prayer isn't heard by God because they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. You can't ask God to bless this stuff. This sin that you're participating in, it's unholy. It is, we're going to petition God while we sin. We're going to petition God while we promote criminal activity. We're going to petition God while we lie to each other. And God says, well, I'm not listening to your prayers. Instead of praying, fix your behavior. Then, maybe then you can come to me. But it's just a sacrifice of prayer mingled with iniquity, and the Lord says, I'm not hearing that. I'm not listening to that. So you've got pretentious prayers. There's a pretend. They're pretending to be something. There's attention-seeking prayers and prayer requests. I need to include prayer requests in this. attention-seeking, unholy prayer, where it's just mingled with iniquity and we're asking God to bless all the sin. And God's like, I'm not listening to that. I'm not listening to you. Last thing, 1 Peter chapter 2, maliciousness that's cloaked in prayer. This is, we can just make sin so spiritual. We can just make sin so spiritual. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16 here. Now, this can apply to other things as far as liberty is concerned, but using the privilege of prayer to do what we're about to show you here is certainly within the realm of the principle at work. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, 15, give you a little bit of context. For so the will of God is the will of God that with well-doing he may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Okay, that's a principle at work. Don't use liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. Say, how could you do that in prayer? All right, you have the liberty, as Randy said so well. You have the liberty to talk to the Creator. You've been given that opportunity. He's opened the doors and said, because of the work of Jesus Christ, I will hear and listen. All these, you know, all of this, the door's open here. Now, with that said, sometimes a prayer, it may not be pretentious, it may not be attention seeking, it may not necessarily be mixed with, you know, iniquity, so to speak. But the prayer itself or the request itself may be a way to malign somebody, maybe a way to spread some gossip. I mean, surely you guys have been in this long enough that you've heard some prayer requests that you knew, okay, that's not a prayer request. They're just telling me they're bad gossip. They don't really want this situation resolved. They just want me to know, or the people to know, how terrible these other people are. I mean, if you haven't experienced it, good for you. Good for you. Great for you. I'm so glad you haven't. But this is a reality that people use, and they cloak the prayer, they cloak the sin, they cloak the gossip in a prayer request. Oh, we really need to pray for this family. We really need to pray for them because, you know, and you just lay out the details and all the gory guts and everything. Like, well, you didn't just tell me that so I would pray. You told me that so I would know their situation. That's why you're telling me this. You know what that is? That is a cloak of maliciousness. Or using liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. I'm going to pretend to do something spiritual. In the meantime, I'm going to stab somebody in the back with cloak of maliciousness, that liberty. Don't use your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. So four things, and I'm sure there's others and all that, but, you know, we had to break away a little bit from Jeremiah's positivity and deal with some of this stuff. So four things about prayer that God does not like. He's not into pretentious prayer. He doesn't like attention-seeking prayer or prayer requests again. He's not into unholy prayer mixed with iniquity and, you know, Lord, bless all this iniquity and whatever. And he's not into using prayer as a cloak of maliciousness, to use it to stab somebody in the back, to spread nasty gossip, to destroy someone's life, all in the name of a prayer request. And that stuff goes on, and if you haven't heard it, good for you. I'm glad you haven't heard it. Good. If you stick around long enough, you'll hear it. So, but these are some things about prayer I figured since Randy's was so positive and why you should, here's why you should avoid some things. Here's how to not fall in the ditch here. I did think about that. Any prayer requests? Nope. We're not. We don't have anything. Everything I've ever said is attention seeking, whatever. I have nothing else. Yeah. All right. Well, let's pray, and then we'll take prayer requests. Father, thank you for this time together. I do pray it's helpful. I mean, these things show up in our lives, and we are very good at sometimes iniquity and using spiritual things to cover for something that's really, it's just sin. And we don't want to do that. And we know you don't listen to these types of things either. So pray that you would help us make the application where it needs to be made. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.